Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Sukkah, Perek He. The last perek discussed the walls of the sukkah, and this perek moves on to the part of the sukkah whose name shares the same grammatical root, the schach. The verb lisachich means to cover, and the Gemara remarks that the sukkah has its name because of the schach covering it. Because the schach has the critical task of providing shade to those inside the sukkah, one of the necessary conditions of the schach, which will come up several times in this perek, is the requirement of tzilata miruba mechamata. The shaded area of the sukkah, due to the schach, must be greater than the unshaded area. Halacha Aleph starts off the perek with conditions on the material used for schach. Haschach shel sukkah eino kasher mikol davar. Ein misakechin ele bedavar shegidulav min haaretz, shnekar min haaretz, veino mekabel tuma, veein reichora, veino nosher venovel tamid. The material used for schach must have five properties. It must grow from the ground. It must be detached from the ground. It cannot be mekabel tuma. We'll elaborate on that later. It must not have a bad odor. And finally, it cannot be something from which parts are frequently shed or just fall off, like a branch with many leaves. These properties are not equivalent to each other in terms of their source or their severity, as the Rambam explains in Halacha Bet. Sikech b'davar she'ein gidulav min haaretz, o b'mchubar, o b'davar she'mekabel tuma, psula. Aval im avar v'sikech b'davar hanovel, o b'davar she'rechora, kshira. Shelo amru ein misakechin ba'elu, ela kidei shelo yaniach hasukah v'yeitzei. V'tzarich lizaher shelo yuhutsin va'alin shel sikuch yordin letoch asarat fachim, kidei shelo yeitzar lo b'shivato. If one uses as schach something which smells bad or from which parts fall with some frequency into the sukkah, this is valid b'di'evid. The only reason one may not use such materials l'chatchila is so that a person not decide to leave the sukkah because he finds it unpleasant. For the same reason, one must ensure that no parts of the schach extend downward to within 10 tefachim of the ground, as this makes the sukkah very uncomfortable. While the Rambam seems to allow this situation b'di'evid, the Shulchan Aruch invalidates the sukkah completely if any branches of the schach, even a small amount, extend to within 10 tefachim of the ground. In contrast to the last two properties of schach, the first three are necessary even b'di'evid, and if any of them is missing, then the schach is entirely pasul. This is learnt from the pasuk in Parshat Re'eh of Chag HaSukkot Taseh Lecha Shivat Yamim Ba'ospecha Migornecha UMiYikvecha. The reference to the Goren VaYekev, the threshing floor and the winepress, literally refer to the time of year of Sukkot. But the Midrash learns from here that the material used for schach, for which the sukkah is named, as we mentioned earlier, must be like that found in the Goren and Yekev, originating from the ground, detached from the ground, and in its natural state, not processed to the point where it can be mekabel tuma. The rest of this halacha lists examples. Anything made of metal, bone, or leather cannot be used as schach, because these materials don't grow from the ground. We note that even though animals are considered gidulei karka in other areas of halacha, this is not the case for schach, as animals are not psolet goren vayekev. Hence, bones are invalid. If vines still attached to the ground are spread over the sukkah as schach, the sukkah is psula. As for kabbalat tuma, there are two kinds of utensils made from material originating in the ground which are mekabel tuma and therefore invalid as schach. One is a wooden kli with a receptacle, a beit kibul, like a wooden bowl or basin. A wooden fork or knife is not mekabel tuma, unlike a metal one, because each of these kelim has no receptacle. Even a piece of a broken kli, which is no longer mekabel tuma, may not be used as schach, based on a gzera de rabbanan, lest one use a piece which still is mekabel tuma. We'll learn the rules of when a broken kli is no longer mekabel tuma much later in Sefer Tara. The second type of problematic kli is a straw mat, which is made in order to lie on. This can become tamei when certain tameim, like a nida or a zav, either sit or lie down on it, even without touching it. This is known as tumat mishkav u'moshav, and is limited to select avot hatuma like the nida and the zav mentioned before. Halacha Vav distinguishes between small mats, whose default purpose is for lying on, unless the manufacturer specifically intends otherwise, and large mats, whose default purpose is to be used as schach. Therefore, in the absence of specific intent to the contrary, a small mat may not be used as schach, but a large mat may be used. Nowadays, it is very common to use mats of bamboo or the like as schach, and this is fine no matter what their size is, because they were made specifically to serve as schach. But if a mat has any kind of elevated border around its perimeter, then the mat is considered a receptacle, and so it's a kli kibul and may not be used as schach no matter what the intent was in making it. Even if the border is removed, this is no better than a piece of a broken kli, which we explained before is pasul midirabbanan. Aside from kalim, the other type of object which is mekabel tumah is food items, and so one may not use fruit and vegetables as schach. Halacha Gimel addresses the case of branches from a fruit tree or a vine, with fruit or grape still on them. And the rule is straightforward. If the branch consists of more branch than fruit, then it may be used as schach, otherwise it may not. Even leaves or other non-food produce of the ground may not be used as schach if it will dry up and crumble or blow away over the course of the holiday. This is considered worse than schach pasul, and is the equivalent of empty space, because the material will eventually disappear. How is empty space worse than schach pasul? We'll see later in Halacha Chaf that the minimal amount of empty space in the schach, which can make a sukkah invalid, is smaller than the minimal amount of schach pasul which is able to do so. Halacha Dalet adds that one may use ropes as schach if these are made from material which grows from the ground, as ropes are not mekabel tumah. Halacha Hay discusses using wooden arrows as schach, and allows this as long as the arrow does not consist of two parts, where one is inserted inside the other and fastened in place there. If this is the case, then only the inside part may be used as schach, not the outside part, which is considered a receptacle for the inner part, and hence is mekabel tumah, as we explained. We continue with Halacha Zayin, which introduces a new principle. Nisarin she'ein berochban arba'at fachim, misakachin behen, afal pi she'ein meshupin. Vim yesh berochban arba'a, ein misakachin behen, va'afal pi she'einan meshupin. Gzera shema yeshev tachat hatikra, vidameh shehi kesuka. Natan aleha neser echad, sheyesh berochbo arba'at fachim, kshera, ve'ein yesheinin tachtav, v'hayashen tachtav lo yatsa yidei chovato. היו נסרין שיש ברוחבן ארבעה, ואין באובין ארבעה, והפכן על צידיהן, שאין בהן ארבעה, וסיכך בהן, הרי זו פסולה, שזה הנסר פסול, בין שסיכך ברוחבו, בין שסיכך באוביו. A wooden beam is valid midoraita as schach, because wood comes from the ground, and the beam has no receptacle. But Chazal made a gzera against using as schach wooden beams which are at least 4 tfachim wide, even if these beams are turned on their sides, where each one is less than 4 tfachim wide. The reason for this gzera, called gzerat tikra, is that the ceiling of a house is typically made from beams of width 4 tfachim or more. So if one uses these beams as schach, he may come to sit under the ceiling of a house, in the mistaken belief that it is valid schach. And why isn't the ceiling of a house valid schach if it meets the conditions of Halacha Aleph? Halacha Chet explains that anything constructed as a permanent ceiling in a house is automatically disqualified for use as schach of a sukkah, even if the beams used in the ceiling are very narrow. This gzera does not apply to a single beam of width 4 tfachin used together with valid forms of schach, as this arrangement does not resemble a ceiling. Therefore, a single such beam does not invalidate the sukkah, unlike other forms of schach pasul, which invalidate the sukkah at a width of 4 tfachin, as we'll see later. However, one may not eat or sleep directly under even a single beam. We'll see in a moment that there may be a case where many such beams are used, that the gzera still does not apply. If one has a ceiling made of wooden beams, is there a way to make it into valid schach so he can use that room as a sukkah? Halacha Chet gives two possible solutions. One is to detach each beam from the ones adjacent to it and move it up and down with intent to use a schach. But this works only if the beams are narrower than 4 tfachim, as otherwise there is still the problem of gzerat tikra. The second solution is to remove every other beam entirely and replace it with schach kasher. The Rambam seems to allow this even if the remaining beams are 4 tfachim wide, which may suggest that the Gzeirat Tikra applies only when at least two beams of width 4 tefachim are used as schach and placed adjacent to one another. The rationale for this is that two adjacent beams cover an area of more than 7 tefachim, the minimal length and width of a sukkah. Despite the din that the ceiling of a home is pasul midoraita as schach, Halacha Tet clarifies that schach does not need to be placed on the sukkah with any mitzvah-related intent. Sukkah shenasat kilchatab mikol makom kshera af al pi shelo naasat l'shem mitzvah v'hu shetia asuya litzel kigon sukkat goyim v'sukkat beima v'chol kayotze behen aval sukkah shenasat me'ileha psula l'pi shelo naasat litzel v'chein hachotet bagadish v'asahu sukkah Eina sukkah, shari lo imer gadish ze litzel. Lefichach, imasa batchila halal tefach, b'meshach shiv'a, l'shem sukkah, v'chatat ba'achareichem, v'hishlima la'asara, k'shera, shari na'asa schach shela litzel. The schach must be put on the sukkah for the purpose of providing shade, but does not need to be put on specifically in order to create a sukkah to use for the mitzvah. So even a sukkah made by a non-Jew to shield him from the sun during the summer, or a sukkah made to provide shade for animals, is a valid sukkah. However, when schach covers a sukkah purely as a secondary result of some other action, the sukkah is psula, as the schach was not put in place in order to provide shade. The classic example of this is the chotet bagadish. Someone hollows out an area of size 7 by 7 tefachim and height 10 tefachim from the bottom of a pile of hay, leaving the upper part of the pile intact to serve as schach. The schach was not placed there as shade, but rather as part of a pile of hay, so the sukkah is psula. But if, from the start, the pile was sitting on top of a hollowed space 7 by 7 tefachim in area, and at least one tefach high, then the entire pile is considered to have been made in order to provide shade to that space. So even if afterwards someone digs out more of the hay from inside the pile to make the space inside it be 10 tefachim high, the valid height of a sukkah, the sukkah is kshera. We note that other Rishonim consider the problem in the case of Achotet Bagadish to be more fundamental than the Rambam explains it. The issue is not merely that the schach is not put in place for the purpose of shade. Rather, there is a din in sukkah of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, like we saw back in Hilchot Tzitzit, meaning that the sukkah must be made directly by putting the schach on it and not come about as the indirect result of some other act. Based on this, the Rama rules that when building a sukkah, one must complete the assembly of the walls of the sukkah before putting the schach on top of it. The reason for this is that if the schach is put on when the sukkah doesn't yet have completely valid walls, then building or fixing these walls later represents a problem of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. In the event that the schach is put on before there are three valid walls, against the instruction of the Rama, the Aruch HaShulchan rules that the sukkah is nonetheless valid b'dieved, but the Mishnah Berurah rules that the sukkah is psula. Halacha Yud. Chavilei kash v'chavilei etzim v'chavilei zradin, ein mesakachin bahen, gzira shema yaseh adam chavilot al gago kdei liyabshan, v'imaleich v'yeshev tachtehen l'shem sukkah. V'hu mitchila lo asa schach ze letzel, v'nimtzeit kesukah shnaasat me'ileha. V'im hitiran, kshera, v'ein chavila pechuta me'esrim v'chamisha badim. We learned earlier about gzeirat tikra, and this is another gzeira against the use of a certain type of schach. One may not use bundles of straw, reeds, or branches, because it frequently happens that someone puts a bundle of one of these types on his roof so that it can dry out. After doing so, he may then decide to use the bundle as schach for a sukkah, even though it was not put there from the start for the purpose of providing shade, as required by Halacha Tet. If he unties the bundle, then it may be used. The minimal size which qualifies as a bundle is 25 branches. Halacha Yud Aleph lists three types of bundles which aren't included in this gzeira. The first is a bundle made just to facilitate counting, by tying together a fixed number of items in each bundle. This bundle is not meant to last, and is very temporary, and the gzeira applies only to bundles which are meant to remain as bundles on the roof for an extended period. The second exception is a large branch with many smaller branches attached to it, which is considered an eged bidei shamayim, a divinely created bundle, and isn't included in the gzeira. Even if one ties together the loose ends in such a branch, it still has the status of an eged bidei shamayim, because of the end of the large branch to which all the smaller ones are attached. And finally, a bundle which is tied together weakly, so that it will come apart on its own with time, is not subject to this gezerah. Halacha Yud Bet. Ha'oseh sukkato tachat ha'ilan, ki'ilu asaya b'toch ha'bayit. Hidla aleha alei ha'ilanot uvadehen, v'sikeich al gaban, v'achar kach kitzatzan, im haya sikuch harbe mehen, kshira. V'im lo haya sikuch shaya kasher mitchilato harbe mehen, tzarich lenanea otan achar kitzatzan, kidei sh'tia asuya l'shem sukkah. If one makes his sukkah under a tree, it is as if he made it inside his house. That is, the sukkah is psula. If he spread over his sukkah branches which are attached to the ground and then cut them, this too is a potential problem of ta'aseh velo min ha'asui, because the sukkah was psula when the schach was first put on it and only later became kshira as a secondary result of cutting the schach from the ground. The only ways for this sukkah to be kshira are if these detached branches are only a minority of the schach, so they are batelim barov, or if someone performs a new asiyah after the branches are detached by shaking each branch, thus putting it on the sukkah a second time after it has become schach kasher. Going back to the first line, which disqualifies a sukkah built under a tree, the Rambam doesn't distinguish between different types of trees and how much shade they provide. The psak of the Shulchan Aruch is that this depends on how much shade the tree provides. If the tree is silato merubah mechamato, more shade than sun, then the sukkah is entirely psula. But if the tree is chamato merubah mitzilato, more sun than shade, then one opinion holds that the sukkah is still kshera no matter what, and the other opinion holds that we must discount all schach of the sukkah which lies directly under branches of the tree. And the sukkah is kshera only if even after the schach is discounted, the sukkah remains tzilata merubah mechamata based on the remaining schach. Halacha Yud Gimel. A rev davar shemisakachin bo, b'davar she'en misakachin bo, v'sikech b'shnehen, af api shakasher, yater ala pasul, psula, sikech v'zel atzmo v'zel atzmo, ze b'tzad ze, im yesh b'schach pasul, shlosha tfachim b'makom echad, bein ba'emtza, bein miatzad, harei zo psula. B'mei divarim amurim, biktana, aval b'sukah gdola, schach pasul ba'emtza, posel ba'arba'at tfachim. Pachot mikan kshira, umin atzad posel ba'arba amot, ufachot mikan kshira. One may not use as schach a mixture of schach kasher and schach pasul. For example, a bunch of bamboo sticks and metal rods mixed together, even if the majority of the mixture is schach kasher. When the schach is mostly kasher, but includes a consecutive region of schach pasul, how much schach pasul does there need to be to disqualify the sukkah? The Rambam mentions three cases. If the sukkah is small, meaning the minimal size of 7x7 tvachim, then even 3 tvachim of schach pasul invalidates the sukkah, as there does not remain the minimal area of a sukkah covered with schach kasher. Less than 3 tvachim of schach pasul can be ignored completely based on the principle of levud. If the sukkah is big, meaning that even without the area covered by the schach pasul, there remains an area of at least 7x7 tfachim covered by schach kasher, then the din depends on whether the schach pasul is in the middle of the sukkah or on the side, adjacent to one of the walls. If it is in the middle, then 4 tfachim of schach pasul invalidates the sukkah. If it is on the side of the sukkah, then even if there is up to 4 amot of schach pasul, the sukkah remains kshera. This is based on the principle of Dofen Akuma that we saw at the end of the last perek. Up to 4 amot of schach pasul adjacent to a wall can be considered a horizontal extension of that wall. This principle can be applied on all 4 sides of the sukkah when the schach on each side is invalid. An example which the Rambam gives later in this halacha is the case of a ceiling of a room in a house, which develops a hole of size 7x7 tefachim right above the middle of the room. One may cover the hole with schach and use the room as a sukkah if the remaining portion of the ceiling, which is essentially a form of schach pasul, is less than 4 amot from each wall to the side of the hole near the wall. We consider the remaining ceiling to be extensions of the walls of the sukkah based on the mechanism of Dofen Akuma. What if one intersperses chach pasul within his chach kasher in such a way that there are not even three consecutive tefachim of chach pasul? Then Halacha Tet Zayin explains, we look at the entire collection of schach covering the sukkah. If it is mostly schach kasher, then the sukkah is kshera. But if not, even if it is exactly 50% kasher and 50% pasul, the sukkah is psula. The Rambam explains that we consider the area with schach pasul as if it were completely empty. And later in Halacha Yotet, he writes that when exactly half the covering of the sukkah consists of schach and the other half is empty space, the sukkah is psula. The Gemara explains why this is so. If exactly half of a ceiling is empty space, then a little more than half of the ground underneath it is unshaded, because the sun magnifies the size of any hole in the ceiling to appear larger on the ground. Therefore, a sukkah whose schach covers only half the ceiling has the status of chamata meruba mitzilata, more sun than shade on the ground of the sukkah, and hence the sukkah is psula. Halacha Yud Zayin. Paras alea beged milamala, osha paras tachtea mipnei haneshar, psula, paraso kedei lenaota, kshira, v'cheinim sikecha kelchata, v'itera b'minei perot uv'minei begadim, v'cheilim shetlean ba, bein bichdaleha, bein baschach kedei lenaota, kshira. If one spreads a piece of clothing either above the schach to add shade from the sun, or below the schach to catch leaves which fall off the schach, then the sukkah is psula. Because its purpose is protection, the clothing is considered part of the schach, and it is schach pasul, because clothing is makabel tumah. But if the purpose of the clothing is decorative, then it is considered insignificant, batel, relative to the schach, and it doesn't interfere with the schach. Hence, the sukkah is kshera in this case. For the same reason, other objects which are makabel tumah, like fruit and kalim, may be used as decorations for the sukkah, and do not interfere with the schach. Furthermore, they don't detract from the height of the sukkah, meaning if the sukkah has the minimal height of 10 tefachim from the ground to the schach, it is kshera even if decorations fill part of the space just below the schach. The Shulchan Aruch points out that this is true l'chumra as well. If the sukkah is more than 20 amor high, one cannot make the sukkah valid by hanging decorations just below the schach until the height from the ground to the decorations is less than 20 amot. Halacha Yotchet adds two caveats to what we just learned. First, if the decorations are separated from the schach by a distance of 4 tefachim or more, then they are not batal to the schach. Someone inside the sukkah is considered to be under the decorations, not under the schach, and therefore the sukkah is psula. The Mishnah Berurah clarifies that this is only true if the decorations themselves are at least 4 tefachim wide. The Ramah writes that no decorations at all should be hung more than 4 tefachim from the schach, but the Aruch HaShulchan notes that the general custom is to hang small decorations, less than 4 tefachim wide, even at this distance. The second caveat is that whereas decorations don't detract from the height of the sukkah, they do detract from its area. So if the sukkah has the minimal size of 7 by 7 tefachim, and some decorations are placed next to a wall, then the sukkah is psula. This is because 7 by 7 tefachim is the minimal space required for a person to eat from a table, as we explained in the last perek. So anything which reduces this space disqualifies the sukkah. Halacha Yotet makes the point that pockets of empty space between parts of the schach don't invalidate the sukkah as long as the empty space is a minority relative to the schach itself. And Halacha Chaf immediately qualifies this din. If there is a gap of empty space within the schach of size 3 tefachim or more, this invalidates the sukkah, whether the gap is in the middle of the schach or at the edge of it, unlike schach pasul, which we saw in Halacha Yudalid invalidates the sukkah at a size of 4 tefachim in the middle and 4 amot at the edge due to dofen akuma. If the gap is anywhere between 3 and 4 tefachim wide and is filled with schach pasul, then the sukkah is kshira, as it has neither 3 tefachim of empty space nor 4 tefachim of schach pasul. But of course, this is only true in a sukkah gedolah, not in a sukkah with a minimal area of 7x7 tvachim, where even 3 tvachim of schach pasul invalidates the sukkah, as we saw in Halachot Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. The Ramah points out that in any case where a line of empty space 3 tvachim wide, or a line of schach pasul 4 tvachim wide, runs across the entire sukkah, we need to look at the two parts of the sukkah on both sides of this line. It's entirely possible that one of them, or even both of them, has 3 walls surrounding it and has the minimal size of 7x7 tvachim, in which case that side, possibly both sides, is a sukkah kshera and may be used. May one sit in the sukkah directly under a gap in the schach of width less than 3 tvachim? The Shulchan Aruch writes that this should be avoided, but the Ramah limits this chumrah to a case where the gap is very long, or where the unshaded area under it is big enough for a person to stand in. Otherwise, this is just a hole in the schach, and every schach has many holes in it. Completing halacha chaf, haya rova sikuch tzilatom ruba mechamato, umiuto chamatom ruba mitzilato, hoil vitzilata kol ruba mechamata kol, kshera. As long as the sukkah as a whole has more shaded area than unshaded, it is kshera, even if there is a small part of it in which the unshaded area is larger. The Ramah writes that one should nonetheless be machmir not to sit in that especially unshaded part of the sukkah, if it is 7x7 tvachim in area. We note that the entire requirement of more shaded area than unshaded in a sukkah, tzilatam ruba mechamata, refers only to shade coming from the schach. This is perhaps why the Rambam uses the masculine form, tzilatom ruba mechamato, as he is referring to the schach and not to the sukkah. We saw in Perek Dalid that the walls can have large holes in them, and the Shulchan Aruch rules that even if the sukkah is mostly unshaded because of sunlight coming in through the walls, the sukkah is kshera. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Derech hasikuch liot kal kedei shiyera'u menu hakochavim agdolim. Haita me'uba k'min bayit, ava pi she'ena kochavim nirin mitocha, kshera. The schach should ideally be sparse enough that one can see large stars through it. But even if it is very dense, to the point that one cannot see any stars through it, the sukkah is kshera. Many are under the misimpression that schach is pasul if it is too dense to see stars through it, but this is explicitly contradicted by the halacha we just read. However, the Magen Avraham writes that if the schach is so dense that rain does not get into the sukkah, then the sukkah is psula. The Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan rule that one can rely b'diyeved on the opinions that allow even a sukkah which doesn't let in any rain. We continue with Halacha Chaf Bet about one sukkah built on top of another. Ha'oseh sukkah al gabei sukkah, ha'tachtona psula kamo sha'asa sukkah b'toch ha'bayit, ve'el yonah kshira, b'med varim amurim sha'tachtona psula, b'shahaya gova hel yonah asara tvachim o'yater, v'haya gaga tachtona yachol lekabel karim uksatot shel el yonah afil al yidei adchak. Aval im ein gova shel el yonah asara, o shelo hayta tachtona yachola lekabel karim uksatot shel el yonah afil al yidei adchak, af ha'tachtona kshira. V'hu shelo yeh gova shtehen yater al esrim ama, sh'tachtona b'schach el yonah hi niteret. When one sukkah is built above another, the general rule is that the lower one is psula, like a sukkah built inside a home, and the upper one is kshera. But this is true only if the height of the upper sukkah is at least 10 tvachim, and the roof of the lower sukkah is strong enough to support pillows and cushions placed on the floor of the upper one. If either of these conditions isn't met, then the lower sukkah is also kshera. The last line of this halacha is somewhat ambiguous. It states that the lower sukkah is kshera, when at least one of those two conditions isn't met, only if the schach of the upper sukkah is less than 20 amot from the ground. Is this true only when the lower sukkah needs that schach, because without it the lower sukkah is chamata ruba mitzilata? Or does schach above 20 amot invalidate the lower sukkah even when the lower sukkah has enough of its own schach? On the one hand, the second option makes sense, because schach above 20 amot is schach pasul, and we know that even 4 tvachim of schach pasul can invalidate an entire sukkah. This is the way the Netziv, in his Romei Sadeh on Masechet Sukkah, understands the Rambam in this halacha. But note the last words of this halacha, sh'atachtona b'schach elyonah hi niteret. The lower sukkah is only rendered a valid sukkah because of the schach of the upper one. From these words, it sounds like the psul when the upper sukkah is above 20 amot applies only when the lower sukkah by itself would be chamata meruva b'tzilata and requires the schach of the upper one. But if the lower sukkah by itself has sufficient schach, then the schach of the upper sukkah doesn't invalidate it. This is how the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam, and how he rules in the Shulchan Aruch as well. But what about the halacha from earlier in this parak, that schach pasul invalidates the sukkah when there is even four tzvachim of it? Why doesn't the schach above 20 amot of the upper sukkah invalidate the lower one, even if the lower one has sufficient schach on its own? The answer, formulated by several Rishonim who understand the din of sukkah tachat sukkah in the same way as the Rambam, is that schach above 20 amot high is not considered schach pasul, which can invalidate a sukkah when there are four tefachim of it. That psul refers only to schach which is invalid because of its composition or its essence, like metal, plastic, kalim, or anything still attached to the ground. But schach above 20 amot is perfectly good schach, and only its location is problematic. Therefore, it doesn't have the status of schach pasul to disqualify a sukkah below it, which has enough schach kasher of its own. We summarize briefly the last three halachot of the perek. If there is a bed in the sukkah, which has airspace beneath it of height 10 tefachim, the man who sleeps under the bed is not considered to be sleeping in the sukkah. This is because the area under the bed has the status of a distinct ohel, separate from the surrounding sukkah. The same is true of one who sleeps on a bed beneath a canopy, if the canopy extends 10 tefachim high and has a roof of width at least 1 tefach. But if the canopy does not have a roof of a width at least 1 tefach, like when it is spread over two thin poles extending upward from the head and the foot of the bed, then one may sleep under it, as the lack of a roof means that the canopy does not qualify as a distinct ohel. We learned in Perak Aleph that a shofar hagazul, a stolen shofar, is valid for mitzvah use, and we'll see in Perak Chet that a lulav hagazul is not. What about a sukkah gzula, a stolen sukkah? The last halacha of the perek explains that this can never really happen, and in all cases which resemble it, the sukkah is kshera. If someone forcibly removes his neighbor from his own sukkah and uses the sukkah himself, this isn't a sukkah gzula, because unlike movable property, land cannot have the status of a stolen object in halacha. If someone steals wood and makes it into a sukkah, then by a takanat chachamim that we'll learn in Hilchot Gezeila, he doesn't need to return the wood at all, only pay back money equivalent to what he stole. And therefore, again, the sukkah is not considered gzula, because he can always just pay back the money. If one builds a sukkah in the Rishut HaRabim, the sukkah is kshira, despite the fact that the land on which it is built does not belong to the one who built it.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.